going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Limits.
Good morning, Joe.
And good morning, Pittsburgh.
What a beautiful day.
And hi, thank Joe. You for saying good morning back to me, Bob. I'm mildly depressed, and I'm reminded of, I think it was Albert Camus. Was he the French novelist who, when people would say good morning to him, would say, I wouldn't go that far. That was his his typical response.
But hopefully that's not going to be your response today.
No, I'm actually very happy. I played at Yaukagany Country Club yesterday, and this has happened before, Bob. I parred the first hole and never parred another one. It's almost like a jinx. It's unbelievable. However, I parred number 13 at Oakmont with you when we recently played there. Didn't I, Bob?
Yes,
even though I was horrible.
I have to say, that was one heck of a par. And I started to roll videotape, and then I realized I didn't press the on switch, and it was one for the ages. But I will attest that you made par there, and we got a glimpse of what that golf course is going to be like for the U.S. Open coming up here in June.
I couldn't believe I was out there, and I've been telling people it was so interesting because, as our host was telling us,
yes, Greg Sipos, really nice.
What a nice man he is. I didn't know. What a wonderful man. I like him. He said right from the start that if you're really bad on your drives at Oakmont, you don't get punished. If you're just a little bit off, you do. That is fascinating to me. It's like unless you're down the fairway, you're in trouble, because if you're just off it, that's where a lot of the sand traps, and then ditches. I haven't dealt with ditches. It's like having a castle, which is the green, surrounded by moats and alligator moats and traps the whole way there. But if you go way right or way left, because there's no trees virtually, then you're in okay shape. So I almost think, do some of these guys at the Open think to themselves on a certain hole, forget trying to be close to the fairway, I'll just blast it directly to my right?
Well,
things like that.
They are too good to do that. They know how to put the ball in where they need to put it. But you're right. That's one of the things. If you miss it wildly left or right, you actually have more of an opportunity to do well on that particular hole, even though you're going into a different fairway, which I don't think they want people to do. But yeah, it's going to be, they pinched the fairways several years ago. They've made the bunkers better, deeper. The ditches, they come into play a lot quicker than you want
to. I hadn't dealt with ditches before.
Yeah.
No.
It's not easy to get in and out
of those
things.
I had to pull up my ditches on that one. I didn't like that, Bob.
But the greens, they weren't as fast as they're going to be during, but they were fast. They're always fast.
What a treat that was.
Yeah. And it's way do you see, ladies and gentlemen, if you get out there, some of the work that's being done on these suites that are along several holes, and how much time and effort. It's like building houses.
Yeah.
Temporary housing, and they'll come right down when done. It's a big process.
Bob, there were a couple of times where, I don't know, I might be on my second shot from 160 or something, where I would just stand there and look around and look back to the clubhouse and say to myself, how many people are going to be having approximately this exact same shot on this hole? And how many from history have had virtually this shot on this hole. Tiger Woods probably took the, maybe not from 160 after a drive.
After a drive of 380, yeah, maybe.
maybe from 20. But you know what I mean? It was just the history of the place was powerful. That's what I would say.
Oh, it's you know, the only course that has hosted this many majors. It'll be 10 this year in 2025, and it's going to be spectacular, and they keep making the course better because they're going to be there again. It's classified as an anchor course by the USGA, which means it's going to return there time and time again, whether it's U.S. Open, whether it's a Women's Open, whether it's a U.S. Amateur. So you'll see a lot of great stuff there over the years.
Man, was that a treat. All right. Hopefully we'll be around there at the Open. Perhaps we'll do a show or two out there, Bob. I don't know of our plans yet, but I do plan to be there. The other thing, before we get into a six-pack, and man, do we have a lot to talk about, is I was just talking to Amy Mock over by the coffee limits, and I've overdosed again today. Your hair is wonderful today, Bob, isn't it?
Do you put gel in it or mousse?
I put like a paste in it.
A paste.
Yeah. Okay. So my hair was a topic at the water cooler today, is what you're saying?
No, that was a separate topic that I just noticed when I looked to my left, and there you were. Looking again, and I mean this as a compliment, like the spinning image of Jimmy Neutron. Does he not,
Very
Bob?
Much so, yeah. As that, I mean, look,
it's,
for
it's
sure.
It's unbelievable.
I take great pride in the hair
the
I have.
The quaffing.
Yeah, the quaffing. Because one day it might all be gone.
You look great. I think that there's a growing resentment on your part about how close to the show I call you to get sound bites. I sense that coming from you, Limits, but we're going to have to deal with that in Four John.
Yes, we will. We always forge on,
yes,
Joe. You know
do.
Us. You know us. We always forge on and get it done.
Bob, I was filling yet another coffee when Amy Mock walked up, who we all love, right? And for some reason, I asked her, have you ever been hit on the funny bone? Because I was yesterday. And she said yes. And then we said, has everybody? Is there anybody out there who never has experienced getting hit on the funny bone? I'm assuming both of you have, Bob.
Oh, multiple times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Limits?
Yeah, it's
I've
terrible.
Done it to myself, you know, where you back, you
right.
actually do something right, and then it sends that feeling through
yeah,
your arm.
A like, charge, an yeah. electrical charge, and a painful one.
It is.
That happened to me playing a basketball game about a month ago, and like I was like shaking out my arm for the next like 20 minutes, and I couldn't shoot for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
It happens, and it led us all to wondering. A couple of other people wandered in, including at one point, I think, Doug Whaley. Has anybody not experienced that? Bob, Limits? Maybe somebody could text us if they don't know what that sensation is like. Is there a person out there, Bob, in the entire world who has never hit their funny bone?
I would doubt it. Even
Me
if
too.
You don't know that it's called a funny bone, but you've done it and you may not know what it was that happened to you, but it sent a tingled in your arm.
Yeah.
A painful one.
I think how many people are on the planet, Limits?
Eight billion
or so?
A few billion, yeah.
I think every single one of them, let's say Bob, once they reach age 7, has hit their funny bone once. Would you agree with that?
Age 7?
Yeah, well, maybe 17. I don't know.
Yeah, at some point. I don't know the age demarcation there, but...
Well, there needs to be one, though. I mean, maybe there has to be a grounds to work here. Maybe
by the time
10,
you graduate
12?
From high school, you have hit your funny bone.
No doubt.
Yeah. We all agree on that,
oh,
Bob?
Definitely.
Yeah. You can text us on that. I mean, we may get some texting. I'd like to find the person who hasn't, who's never done that. 412-928-9370. And in honor... of retired Ron Cook, who's probably on number 11 right now, and I don't mean a golf course, I mean Stroh's Light in Fort Myers, Florida. Let's crack a six-pack, Limits, shall we? And let's hear about the big hit from last night. Let's open with that. Let's open with McCutchen.
2-2. McCutchen sends one high and deep out to the left center field. And this one is gone! Andrew McCutchen, a three-run homer here in Anaheim. And there's that crushing blow. 5-1 Pirates.
Advantage cuts.
Yeah, baby. A shot by McCutchen. And Bob, it leads to the obvious question. It's a lot of work to run around them bases. Does he need a day off tonight? Will he get one? Does Cruz need to get off his feet? How many guys get the day off tonight?
A lot of guys have got to get off their feet. I say nobody needs to be off their feet for the entire rest of this month. At least your best players need to play every day. There are built-in days off on your schedule. You don't have to worry about, just play them.
Yeah.
They're now 9-15. They got to keep winning. They can't afford to have somebody sit because it's, well, you're tired. That may more apply to
Or you might
to
be
McCutcheon,
tired in July
but it doesn't
if we don't
apply
see it now.
To O'Neal Cruz.
No, it doesn't apply to anybody right now. Play your best team. I don't care what the matchup is tonight. Put the same guys out on the field. Please do that, Bob. Just put the same team out on the field.
Yeah, and you know, normally when you get a winning night, you want to keep the same lineup the next day. Derek Shelton has gone
normally,
away from that.
Normally.
I mentioned last week when Henry Davis hit a home run and had two hits in a game, the next day he wasn't in the lineup. I think
Right. Sometimes
you have to just keep rolling what you have. Again, we use the example of the Atlanta Braves. Every day it's the same lineup, win or lose. They keep trotting them out there. They don't care if they have rest or not. They play.
Right.
Where are you going?
In the game.
Sit down.
What do you mean? We've got to have five out there.
Sit down. Sit.
Coach, need one more.
My team's on the floor.
They're on the field, Joe. The
even if it's
on
only eight. Even if they have to go with eight. Just everybody got a hit except the Exxon Valdez, and he scored a run and then was taken out for a defensive replay. Everything made sense. You know, Cruz leads off. He's your best hitter. He's got your best on-base percentage of guys who have played the full season. Maybe Joey Bart might be higher. But that makes sense, Bob, doesn't it? You know, the guy who gets on base the most
especially
gets
especially because of where you
first.
Are. You're in
right.
April and you're 9-15. You're in April and you're 9-15.
Then
that
Brian
means
Reynolds. Yes. And then McCutcheon batting third. I'll tell you who I really like. And I think there was, at least on my part, some concern based on all of baseball history with Joey Bart because it was a very tiny sample size last year, Bob, after he had busted in San Francisco. So I was waiting, and to some degree still am. But I really like this guy. And it's not just the numbers, and he's batting 291, 400 on base percentage and 55 at bats, 800 OPS. It's more just the feeling of what, like, I get the feeling when he steps in the box, something good is going to happen. Don't you?
Yes. And again, when you have that opportunity in your lineup, it helps your lineup overall. So I totally agree. I think he's discovered where he is as a hitter, and I'd keep rolling it out.
Limits, any days off today? Does McCutcheon need to get off his feet?
I think O'Neal Cruz might have to get off his feet again. Or, you know, maybe we'll see Key Brian Hayes not playing just to be able to rest his back. Who knows?
Please just put that same lineup on
the field. Same exact lineup.
Please.
Yep.
There's just the exact same one. Just try it. Try it. Have they had the exact same lineup in two straight games all year?
No.
Okay.
They have 23 lineups in 23 games going into yesterday.
All right. Next. Bob, the Shedeur Sanders drama is only growing. It's only growing. I wrote about that for the Post-Gazette this morning. I still have Jackson Dart number one on my board. But you know what? I think that Sanders is a worthwhile risk. I think he has a lot of attributes. There's also some weaknesses there. I get it. Like, the velocity isn't there. Like, I look at him like good old Thomas Harrington. Like, he's unbelievably accurate, but it's real tough to survive if all you're doing is painting corners. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about the arm strength, the velocity on the ball, things like that. He took a lot of sacks. He also had a crap offensive line. I love his football IQ. I love his toughness. I love his accuracy. I love the touch he's able to put on the ball. I've read pieces about him doing things, you know, that they used to talk about with Brady's and Manning's, which is, you know, reading where you have leverage on a corner, like the deep inside game. You know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah.
Can you recognize something before the snap? Things like that. This dude has a high football IQ. I love that. But now we get to Tomlin from yesterday, and that's where my question will come in, Bob. As Jerry Dulac said, in 18 years of these pre-draft news conferences, he's never heard Tomlin go into detail on a draft prospect. He did yesterday. Let's hear it, and then I want to get your thoughts on Sanders and what Tomlin was trying to do here.
I think the things that stood out were evident in this video. There's a toughness there that doesn't get talked about enough. There's a competitive spirit there that doesn't get talked about enough. I know he's very talented and has made a lot of plays for his university and his team, but the intangible qualities displayed on tape.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Were impressive to me.
Bob, why this guy? Why now, 18 years in? As Dulac said, in 18 previous years, I don't think I ever heard Mike Tomlin talk about any draft prospect, much less the detailed evaluation he offered today of Shedeur Sanders. Tomlin, though, Dulac says, freely admits he likes to create smoke screens and throw the draft experts off their scent.
Right, and we saw that with the Malik Willis situation, where everyone thought, because of where he went and what he did and had dinner multiple times and did this and did that, people came to the conclusion he was going to be the pick. After all, he wasn't. It was Kenny Pickett, who he said the same things about, and this is what concerns me. When you emphasize the intangibles more than the tangibles, then I have a little bit of an issue with that, because I think intangibles are great, but you're only as good as your tangibles. You know what I mean? In this league, and I think that's one of the reasons why I saw this tweet yesterday, and I was thinking about it anyway, but Warren Sharp, who does this stuff, since 2001, when you look at quarterbacks taken outside of the top 12 in any one of these last several drafts, you have Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, Will Levis, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Davis Mills, Matt Corral, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, and Hendon Hooker. They were all either late first round, early second round picks, or in Willis's case, a third round.
Yeah.
None of them have done what you'd expect them to do.
Right.
Which, again, you would expect to be the case because they're not highly thought of in terms of top 10 guys. So there is a little bit of danger there in a buyer beware situation. But, again, for my sake, I hope they don't draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't want to see one in the first round. They have other needs. Do it later in the round and then next year again.
See, one of the things that happens here, Bob, and I'm certainly, I might be a little worried that you have a case of this and I might seek some treatment. I think there's a lot of people around here who have PTSD, Pickett Traumatic Stress Disorder, which is that anybody who's drafted in the middle of the first round is Kenny Pickett 2.0. Nope, like forevermore. If the Steelers ever draft another quarterback between like 13 and 23, it's going to induce Pickett traumatic stress disorder. Now, the Steelers are desperate. I don't think that means you reach in the first round. Like, you could compare that, Bob, to shopping while you're really hungry.
But if you're
right?
desperate, don't you do things you would not normally do?
You might. You might. But on the conversely, it also doesn't mean that every guy who's projected to go mid-first round is the next Kenny Pickett. I'm not accusing you of that, but I hear that all around. That guy, see you do that? That's another Pickett selection. Well, not every guy is like that. Plus, here's the bottom line for me. Yeah, they have many needs. They have one. It's a franchise quarterback, and this is just rearranging the deck chairs until they get one. So you got to take big swings, and you got to keep taking them until you get that guy. And there's two guys that I think here are highly intriguing. Jackson, after Cam Ward, Jackson Dart and Shador Sanders. Dart's first on my board, so to speak, Bob. My dart board. Do you like that horse?
I like it, yes.
And Sanders is second after that. And I'd take him. I'd take him, and I wouldn't rip them for taking him.
The problem with your big swings is when you miss a lot, you're going to keep taking swings. And when you do that, you're going to ignore other things that you should be swinging at.
And what's the worst that could happen if they swing and miss?
You turn into Indianapolis, where you're constantly looking for a replacement for Andrew Luck. How many years later?
Or you turn into like a, I don't know, a nine and eight team that never comes close to winning a playoff game.
It.
Oh, wait, they've already been that for nearly a decade.
Listen, this all to me is going to come down to whether or not Aaron Rodgers signs here. And I know that even if it goes beyond this week and if they do take a quarterback, I think people would expect that quarterback, if you're a first round pick, to play more. I don't know if that's the right thing if Aaron Rodgers is here. They're not going to bring someone in and then have Aaron Rodgers sit. So this whole thing is still very complicated based on the future of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. If you bring in a first-round guy and you really like him, should he play right off the bat if he's worth it to you, if he's that franchise guy?
Yeah, that's an entirely different question. And I don't think it hurts to sit for a while. I certainly wouldn't put somebody into a game at halftime when they haven't had any reps with the number one team like Tomlin did to Kenny Pickett. That was just ridiculous.
No, but you know my point. If Rodgers is here, he's not going to sit. He's going to play.
No, he's going to play. He didn't sound like a guy who's really just burning inside to play football and can't wait to get to Pittsburgh, however, right?
No, not at all. And yesterday it sounded like the Steelers have pretty much, I don't know if it was Omar or Mike who said that we're not going to let what happens in free agency determine what we're doing with our draft. Well, does that mean you're not going to worry about Aaron Rodgers now? Well, I don't know. It's hard to read between the lines when you have so many fluid parts here.
Well, we're going to hear Mike Tomlin in a moment on that. But first, one more thought on Sanders. I think, and this was a guy from Walter Football. I think his name is Charlie Campbell. Do I have that right?
Yes.
This guy's the most accurate mock drafter in the country, Bob. He won the mock draft title last year. I don't know if there's a trophy involved.
There should be.
Perhaps a check. But he's very good at what he does. He thinks that the Browns are going to get Shador Sanders at pick 33. What do you think of that?
33? Yeah. I mean, it could be. I've seen a lot of people who do this for a living also have Shador Sanders rated as the 52nd best prospect in this draft.
And maybe go back into the late first round to get him. He thinks the Browns are on him, but not with their early pick.
Don't forget about the Giants, who invested a lot of time and effort into trying to bring him in a couple of times. They did a lot of work on him, and I don't know if that's a smokescreen or not. I mean, we could talk about all these
things. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I saw Graziano today, who I like, like very much, saying that Brian Daboll is on the Jackson Dart bandwagon, Bob. Which brings up our next item. Could you crack a fresh one cold, and I'd like my glass right out of the freezer. Bob, do you like beer that way?
With
the frosted glass?
Yeah, if I'm going to drink it, that's the best way to drink it, especially on a hot summer day, whether around a golf or cutting the grass. Not that I cut the grass.
You know, Limits doesn't like beer that much. He goes for the hard stuff. Old granddad, things like that.
Old granddad?
Old granddad. What
What's
are you,
that?
It's the most powerful form of whiskey, at least it was in Pete Nussbaum's house when we stole it from his dad.
Wow. How about that crime right there, Bob?
What do you drink again, Limits? Crown Royale?
No, Captain and Coke.
Captain
Morgan.
How about
that,
I interest you in a French martini? Missing out on the world's best pleasures.
Bob, if I'm sharing it with you, that is completely
fine. What's a French martini, Bob?
It's not dirty, because that's very medicinal. This has Chambord mixed with vodka and pineapple.
What's Chambord, Bob?
It's an after-dinner liqueur.
Like vermouth?
No. Mm. No, it's something you would drink afterwards, like
cream de menthe.
Benedictine, Do you know about that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard of it, yes. My dad, John Starkey, Bink, we call him. Still kicking, I might add. He was a college professor. He would come home every night and smoke one cigarette and have a whiskey sour, Bob. Remember whiskey sours?
Oh, yeah.
Popular. It was unbelievable.
Then. My mother and father used to love Manhattans. You ever had one of those?
Yes, I've had.
They'll knock you out.
Yeah.
You ever had a French Connection?
What?
French Connection?
No.
I should enlighten you guys with that one. I'm going to take you out and give you a French Connection.
All right. I don't drink anymore. Probably because of experiences like that.
I've learned from my friend Tom Grealish, who knows all about those drinks, and he's great It's different. It comes heated over
heated.
A fire, yes.
A hot drink, like a flaming rum drink. I had those when I went to, what's the thing that spins in Canada, that big, huge thing?
The merry-go-round?
No, a restaurant, right?
Yeah, the big top of the sky, something. The CN Tower, yeah. Whatever it is. I had one of those. What is it?
The merry-go-round. It's like we're playing a game.
I had one of those.
Yeah, merry-go-round. No, spin higher. Go up.
They came over with a flaming rum drink, Bob. Also, have you guys ever had a rum and jolt?
No.
No, that's bad.
Remember jolt?
Yeah, but that's bad for your heart.
Yeah, that's why I wound up in the emergency room after 11 of those one night, Bob, a long
11?
Time ago.
11?
Yeah, rum and jolts. Yeah, I wasn't really a one rum and jolt kind of guy. Needless to say,
that's
that was
a big
my
jolt right there, Bob.
It was a jolt, Bob. It was a jolt.
I'm surprised
anyway,
you're still talking about it. That could kill you.
Yeah,
I mean that's a lot.
It wasn't good.
System.
I mean, it was for a while. Then it turned bad. Limits. Thank you. Let's hear from Shador himself. Was this on the Max Crosby podcast?
Yes.
This was Shador. I think they were talking about Hall of Fame, you know, receiver quarterback connections, and he was naming some, and he winds up naming whoever gets to play with Pickens and DK Metcalf. Let's hear this, Bob.
You got one more.
Whoever going to be the quarterback for DK Metcalf and George Pickens, whoever that is.
For sure. I love that.
He's throwing it out there, Bob. Now, he also threw out Neighbors and Olave.
Yeah,
so the teams that could draft him, he wanted to throw a little bone to each one. Man, I don't think the George Pickens thing's going to go very well. And now that I'm thinking ahead, the idea of Sanders, Pickens, and DK Metcalf has great potential for good things and for not so good things.
Well, I found this interesting, too. Again, when you're hearing good, you're going to hear some bad. Tom Palacero put this out yesterday. An NFL coach who was at a meeting with Shador Sanders said this, quote, "Worst formal interview I've ever seen in my life. So entitled. Takes unnecessary sacks. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. The biggest thing, he's not that good." Now, you can take that for what it's worth because everyone has pros and cons on players. Some like, some don't. But I found it interesting because while everyone is talking about the good things, there are some people out there who have a different viewpoint.
And that brings us back to those Tomlin quotes on Shador and how unusual, unprecedented, really, it was for Tomlin to speak so glowingly and in detail of a draft prospect. And I wonder at least, have no idea for the motivation there. Is he doing his old friend, and they've been friends apparently for a long time, Dion, is Tomlin trying to counteract some of the narratives that you just mentioned by saying, yeah, I met with the kid, and basically I love the guy, and we don't talk enough about his toughness, about his competitive spirit. At least that occurred to me that maybe Tomlin is going out of his way to sort of contradict some of the negative narratives about Shador.
Or he's playing a game, and he seemed to smile when he was asked about gamesmanship later in that press conference. And
yeah.
I know he likes playing that game, which is cool. It's part of the whole thing when you're talking about, you know, competitive fun at this draft that they do every year. You're trying to throw people a different direction. He may be doing this because he likes Jackson Dart. He may be doing this because he likes Jalen Milroe. He may be doing this because these guys, there are mocks out there to have them all in the first round.
I'll tell you this much, Bob. I saw some numbers on Milroe. Where I think on passes intermediate to long, like 25, 24 plus yards, something like that, passes down the field, this dude was like the best in the country. He had 10 touchdowns and no interceptions on those kinds of passes. And do you have that quote from was it Pelissero on Jalen Milroe yesterday? Limits, where this is undeniable about him, whether you love him as a prospect or not. He is the most talented guy in the draft.
He's
up to and including Cam Ward.
Yes.
And this was Pelissero a couple days ago on Jalen Milroe.
On the NFL Network.
The eye-opening thing that several coaches and scouts told me as I was making calls about all these quarterbacks is Jalen Milroe is the greatest runner of the football they've ever evaluated at the quarterback position. Not Lamar Jackson. Jalen Milroe is the best runner that they've ever seen.
How about that, Bob? He makes, he makes Michael Vick look like who? Derek Watt? He's the greatest runner in history at the quarterback position. What do you make of that?
Well, he may be in college. We'll see what happens in the pros. I would have, Lamar Jackson was still, but you see, that's fine. He's got to. Lamar Jackson, when he came in, was known as a runner too, but he's developed into an all-around MVP type of player. He's in that running every year. Can Jalen Milroe do that? How hard is it to advance? And I'm not ruling anything out. I think it's all possible, which is why I thought Justin Fields could still take that.
If you could move into the second round and get him, or get him in the third, would he be available in the third round, Jalen Milroe?
This is why I think they have the potential and maybe thinking about trading back. If some of these guys hang around and you do your investigation, you realize teams are not going to draft quarterbacks maybe after the first round, or if they do, it's going to be a little later after that. You could put yourself in a position by trading back, getting some extra picks, and setting yourself up for not only the quarterback you want, but also other things as well.
I'll tell you this much, Bob, and we're looking at Stephen A. right now, and the topic is Steelers under most pressure to nail draft. We had Dan Orlovsky the other day saying the Steelers may have the worst quarterback situation in the entire NFL. So I will say this, for our purposes, the drama here is undeniable, and the Steelers might be the single biggest story in the NFL going into this draft. Would you guys agree with that? Like, who's a bigger story than them right now? They're linked to Aaron Rodgers, which automatically vaults them into like a top three story in terms of things people are talking about the most. And then you add, okay, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, who has a lot of attention on him, and their desperate need for a quarterback. Do you agree with that, Limits?
Yeah.
They're the biggest story.
Thinking about it right now, they really are, because they have one of the most polarizing players in the NFL just clutching them and not being able to really let go, or maybe they're not able to let go of the idea of Aaron Rodgers, while still Shedeur Sanders, one of the most, probably the most polarizing draft prospect that is available outside of Travis Hunter, being mocked by many, including Peter Schrager today, to the Steelers. Like, I don't know how much, for a team that's like never so flamboyantly in the news, or likes to, obviously a big brand, likes to keep a little bit of a lower profile than like the Cowboys. This is very Cowboys-like, Bob.
It is. And speaking of that, Austin, yesterday there was Jerry Jones speaking in advance of his draft, and he mentioned a couple of big trade potentials that he's working on. You wonder, because they're looking at a number two, just like a lot of teams are with wide receivers. So if that's out there, that could lead to a George Pickens trade. Who knows? Then there's this from Diana Rossini today. And again, some of this stuff, I wonder if it's just an attempt to get people to listen and like and follow. The Steelers, the Browns, and possibly Vikings could be involved in a multiple-team trade involving Kirk Cousins.
No, thank you.
I mean, if we're going to go in that direction, then
As I often say about him, Bob, he's the only active NFL player with a statue. Unfortunately, himself is the statue.
Well, Rodgers would have one too, it looks like. I mean, they're similar kind of guys, and the fact that that's even being mentioned makes me think that maybe there is no...
You like that?
Do you like that?
Don't worry, Joe. I had it queued up.
Austin's amazing. He comes up with this stuff all
He's like
time.
Radar O'Reilly, Bob.
Yeah, he is. That's a good... We're going to call you Radar now. One of many nicknames.
Oh, my God. That's a great name for him, is Radar.
Radar.
We might have to switch that. Are you familiar with the old show, MASH?
Well, I know it. I only watched like an episode or two.
Yeah, there was the general, McLean Stevenson, Colonel Blake,
He was Hot Lips Houlihan.
Radar knew everything that Colonel Blake was going to do before he did it. Like, he would complete a task before Colonel Blake even asked him to do the task. That's you. You're unbelievable. Bobby's on top of his game, isn't he?
I don't even know how that works. It's like a symphonic orchestrator.
You like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yes, I do like that.
Do you like that?
I do.
No, no, no. Do you like that?
What?
That.
Yes.
No, not that. That.
You like that?
Three-team trade for Kirk Cousins. Do you like that?
God, no. I don't like that. Keep Kirk Cousins. I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers in here with his 42-year-old self complaining about everything and playing the victim. Wouldn't you?
Oh, no. I just wish Justin Fields had signed.
I know. We could have avoided all this and gone 10-8 and been blown out in the first round of the playoffs again. Bob, coming up next, George Pickens. You mentioned the Cowboys. A lot of people are mentioning the Cowboys and wondering if Jerry Jones is talking about one George Pickens. We have a new member of the Jackson Dart bandwagon on the record, and I'm proud to say this might be the most prominent member yet, aside from Jack Ham and Dan Orlovsky and our very own Pat Bostic. We got a new one, and he may sit next to me and drive the damn thing. He might get some driving duty on the Dart bandwagon. And then we have Chad Brown, former Steeler. You remember him, Bob?
The Snake Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he collected exotic snakes, didn't he?
Yeah, I never understood that.
Me neither.
But I remember he showed us once. We did a story on him, and I was scared to death.
I'm afraid.
I didn't want to go near any. I hate thousand leggers.
I'm afraid of worms, let alone snakes. So he was on with the afternoon guys yesterday. He's out in Colorado, does media, not afraid to share an opinion. He absolutely shredded Russell Wilson when the Steelers got him last year. So I take his opinion. You know, he's not just repeating a company line because him and Shador both went to Colorado. I don't believe that. I think if he didn't think he was good, he'd say, well, we'll play what he said next. He had a really interesting line about Shador Sanders that I think a lot of people will remember whether he turns out or not.